Thank you, Brandon. Take your Bibles, go with me this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Would you go there, please? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll read the scripture. You follow along as I read. We're in 1 Thessalonians 2 this morning. We want to start reading in verse 3. We'll read down to verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 2 this morning, starting in verse 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others. Well, we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. I want to draw your attention to start this morning to verse number 8. Here the Bible says this, so being affectionately desirous of you, we're willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. I want to preach a message entitled this morning, The Message and the Messenger. We spend a lot of time, rightly so, thinking about the message. The message being correct, the message being doctrinal, the message being scriptural. But it's an interesting statement by the Apostle Paul, isn't it? That he says in verse 8, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Think about the phrase and think about what the Apostle Paul is conveyed. He's saying he had a message. He understood the message. He delivered the message, but he also delivered himself. There's a point at which there's a message, and there's a point in also which God is calling us to be the right messengers. I want you to look just a couple other passages. We're going to come back to 1 Thessalonians 2, but turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's think about this concept just for a little bit before we get back to our text, of the message and the messenger. Because there's a lot of people that have the right message, but because they're not the right messenger, it doesn't get the job done. 1 Corinthians 9, a familiar passage, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, there's the message, but here's the messenger, I myself should be a castaway. Disapproved, set aside. Sometimes we use the phrase that somebody's been put on the shelf. God has put somebody on the shelf. More accurate statement would be many people put themselves on the shelf. But we see here the danger of having the right message, but not having the right messenger. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's a good outline for anyone's life that's going to preach and serve the Lord. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says this again. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. He's talking about, first of all, he says his doctrine, certainly that's first place, that's the message, but notice the rest of it covers the messenger, being the right kind of messenger, being the kind of man that God can use and the kind of man that God wants to use. Let's look at another testimony, Philippians chapter 2, if you'd go there. Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul here tells us of Epaphroditus, verses 25 to 30. Philippians 2 and verses 25 to 30. Notice how he describes him. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Now notice this description in verse 30 of this man. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Let's go back in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where we'll draw our message this morning. But I want us to consider that while we bear the message of Christ, we must also be the proper messengers for Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 8. We're willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Now, Paul in this passage is going to go on to explain three specific ways in which he was the proper messenger. We're sending you into a world that is hostile to the gospel, hostile to the independent fundamental Baptist movement, hostile to our convictions, hostile to our beliefs, the things that we hold to. And many times you will think in your mind, this is a wrong thought process, I have got it mastered. I've got the doctrine mastered. I've got it all figured out. And yet the Apostle Paul said we gave our own souls. There's something more than just the transfer of notes. There's something more than just an outline. There's something more than just the message. There's also the messenger. All of us probably here this morning were touched by somebody who had the right message, but also was a special kind of messenger. There's something about them. They cared about us. They were concerned about us. They gave themselves. The job of the thought process of I punch out at 5 o'clock and I'm done in the ministry will never get the job done. It will never accomplish anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who've gone before us were people that sacrificed and went without. They were people that worked long hours and went without pay and sacrificed. And that's what God is calling us to. The right message and the right messenger. I want you to show you three specific ways. Notice, first of all, in verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, hard work, hard work. He says this in verse 9, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. The word travail there has the idea of hardships, of difficulties, of trials. I remember a guy who pastored in Omaha was telling me he was trying to encourage people to come to the Midwest to start churches. That's still a good place to go to start churches. You know that? Somebody's got to stand up for the Midwest around here. Amen? So that is what my ministry is. But there's a great ministry up there in the north. There's a great ministry in the Midwest. It's just disguised. You got to go looking for it. But I understand that. And a man came to him, a young guy, and he said, listen, I think God has called me to start a church in a specific town. It was just across the border in Iowa, that side of Iowa. And so the older pastor said, let's go soul winning. Let's go over there and I'll show you the town. They went over and looked through the town, looked at everything. And so the veteran pastor said, let's go out. Let's go soul winning for a couple of hours. So they went out. It was a difficult day soul winning. A lot of people weren't home, and some of the people that weren't home weren't very interested. Veteran pastor got in the car, the young guy, thinking about starting a church in that town, and the young guy said, well, he said, I don't know, I just don't think God is calling me there. And the veteran pastor said, why? Well, how did you come to that conclusion? He said, well, we didn't see any results today, and I just don't think God is in it. And the veteran pastor said, if that's all it takes to scare you off, you better never come in the first place. It's an interesting way that the Apostle Paul says it, though, isn't it? Labor and travail. There's going to be work. There's some work in the ministry. And there's also going to be some difficulty. There's going to be some hardships. There's going to be difficult situations. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be times of having to trust in the Lord completely. There's going to be times you can't see exactly the light of day. You can't see exactly what's ahead. If we somehow get the impression in reading all of the great biographies of the past, if we somehow get the impression that it was easy, we didn't really get the message. Because these were people that sacrificed, that went without. They had labor and travail. They had hard work tied in to the ministry. They didn't think it was going to happen overnight. The book of Proverbs says it's good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth. I think there's a principle for ministry there as well. That the Lord is going to teach us some things, and some things can only be learned in a difficult situation. In fact, we'll miss the lesson a lot of times if the situation is easy for us. I remember one time we took a group to an all-night youth activity. And the first preaching time, they had this all-night youth activity, was around midnight. And the guy that preached was a veteran evangelist. He's now in heaven. And he had preached a meeting down in Lincoln and finished that meeting on Friday night. And this evangelist had driven 2 hours to get to this all-night youth activity. And then he had preached a salvation message. I had a young man, he was just out of high school with me. And he said, and I've been working with him, he hadn't quite understood the gospel. And he said, man, that was a great message. He had a couple questions. He said, I wonder if I could talk to the evangelist. Now, at this time, we're bowling. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, the evangelist, I'm sure, is sound asleep. And I'm thinking, boy, that's just not going to work. And so I tried to explain. I said, I'm just not sure. I said, he probably went to bed. He had a long day. And he said, no, listen, I really want to talk to that evangelist. I just didn't think this was going to work. So I went to the pastor and I said, do you think there's any way that you could wake the evangelist up and he could come back? And he said, I know that evangelist. I know he'd come back in a heartbeat. And he came back, and at 3:30 in the morning, back in the bowling alley, he led that guy to the Lord. I've thought about that a lot. You know that? Sometimes we just think it's just a job. It's just time. We're just putting in time. But the people that really get the job done are people that realize it's an all-day job. It's an everyday job. And I love people that set that example. And sometimes we think that when we've done our job, it's over, it's finished, there's nothing more. But the Apostle Paul says there's labor and travail. There's difficult times, there's hard times. I remember we had a revival meeting and had a man who had pastored many years come into revival, and his wife was with him. And we had a lady who was coming to our church. She'd been coming about 6, 7, 8 months, hadn't quite understood the gospel. In her background, she had been in a cult and had subscribed to all those beliefs. So it was kind of taking her a little while to totally understand. And so we always started on Sunday morning. We start the meeting, but Sunday night we always had a time of fellowship, food and fellowship after the service for people to get to know the evangelist. And this lady went up to the evangelist's wife and said, listen, can I talk to you? I don't understand this gospel yet. And she really totally didn't understand it yet. And that evangelist's wife took her in another room and spent the next 2.5 hours witnessing to her. Eventually that lady got saved that night. And she will many times talk about how that lady took so much time, didn't go have any food, didn't have any fellowship. It's interesting, the things that touch people's lives, isn't it? It says here, hard work, hard work. What a great lesson that is for us, the Apostle Paul is trying to instill in us, and that is that there's going to be some labor, there's going to be some travail. So the first way we can be an effective messenger is hard work. Do you see the second one? It's in verse 10. Here it is, a holy life. It says in verse 10, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. So many times today, and we live in a day and age in which we want to skip over that verse. We want to skip over these principles. Let me just say this. Not only will many people listen to your message, everyone is going to read your life, how you live. And I understand we have a lot of people in the blogosphere talking about old-time preferences and old-time things. But let me just tell you something. There's something that still works about old-fashioned holy living. There's something that still gets the job done about old-fashioned holy living. I'm not talking about posting it on Facebook. I'm talking about actually living it. I'm talking about day in and day out. You and your wife and your children setting an example of what the Christian life is. I understand we've got a host of different opinions of what that phrase means, but I don't think there's any doubt the Apostle Paul is talking about a consistent Christian testimony lived out. And he is calling us to that same kind of consistency in our Christian life. I understand there's all different kinds of positions, but the person on this side and the person on that side is not our judge. He's not our standard. Our standard is the Word of God. Our standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's calling us to a consistent Christian life. There will be people that will never come to your church, but they'll watch your life. They'll watch how you live. They'll watch what you do. The people that listen to you preach will guide. Is he going to change today? Is he anchored to some position, or is he driven by the wind and tossed, as the Bible tells us? It's interesting. Three words the Apostle Paul uses here in verse 10 to describe his life. We understand, oh, a holy life or a devout life, a just life, a pure life, and then the concept of unblameable, to be blameless, to be without reproach, to have a consistent testimony. We need to get our standards and convictions set. We need to know what we believe. It's so easy to judge our standards by somebody else. It's so easy, young people, to run away from standards because it seems like everybody is running away from them. But let me just say something. We shouldn't run away from a holy life. And standards will help us live the holy life. I understand there's all kinds of positions on that. I totally get that. You don't have to explain it to me. But where do we get our position from? Do we get it from the newest author? Do we get it from the newest guy that's building a big church? I don't think we're supposed to, do we? We're supposed to get it from the book, aren't we? You say, well, don't you understand culture is changing? I do understand that. But don't you understand we have an unchanging book? I understand it's hard today to live the Christian life. I understand there's going to be some challenges to the way you want to live your Christian life. I understand there's going to be some critics along the way. I totally understand that. I understand that a lot of church people aren't going to appreciate it. But I think the standard is what the Apostle Paul sets down here. That he lived a blameless life. That he lived a life separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We were just in Nebraska. I was there 26 years. Now think about this, folks, and you understand this. What kind of pastor are you if you preach one thing in the 90s and another thing today? Don't you think people can pick that up? Don't you think people can figure that out? Don't you think that excuse of, well, people are changing is pretty lame when you're supposed to be the leader, when you're supposed to be the pastor? Never forget this, that what you believe, people are listening to. And if you change that position, you go a different direction, don't forget, they're still listening. You've lost a little bit of your ability to lead. Because you have revealed yourself as not being settled, not being sure. We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different situations. I understand. We had different families. We had a different church we grew up in. I totally understand all of that. And I understand we look at things in a different way. But we need to understand here the testimony and the example that the Apostle Paul set. And it's a tremendous lesson for us. He lived in such a way that he was blameless. He could stand before them and could preach anything. He could preach the message. His messages hadn't changed. God's going to give you children one day, and you're going to be in the ministry, and you're going to have children. It's going to be challenging. Your kids are going to be like everybody else's kids. They're going to have something called the sin nature. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. But let me just say this. Don't preach something and then not have enough character to live it. Don't get up there and say you believe something without saying, now I got to carry through with it. Now I got to follow through with it. It says here a holy life. Let me just say this. I know we live in different days, but let me just say this. The testimony of a separated life still works today. And people that are stuck in sin and are trying to come out of sin, they appreciate a separated testimony. I understand some people of the evangelical crowd, some people a little left of us, don't appreciate it. I understand that. That's the crowd that's pretty hard to minister to in the first place. They're not really knocking down the doors of the independent fundamental Baptist churches. Don't spend all your time trying to reach somebody that's not going to be reached anyway. They're already stuck in their position. But you have somebody that's been in the world, captured by the world and by its sin, they appreciate a separated testimony. Do you know that? They understand exactly. I had a man who came into our church, first time he's ever there. He comes in, he's got a Bible, so he's an unusual guy on the first time anyway. He sits down in the front, unusual two ways, and he sat there through Sunday school and church, and he's walking out the door. He said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, in that passage where it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, what does that mean? And so I said to myself, we'll never see this guy again, because I'm going to teach him something he's never heard before. And so I said, well, this is what I believe. I believe we shouldn't drink alcohol. I believe in total abstention. He goes, and so I'm thinking, that's it. Good to see the guy. We'll never see him again. And he said, I like that. He said, I raised my family. Now listen to this. I raised my family in a church where we were taught something much different than that. And he says, right now, my own kids are drinking. He said, I'd give anything to go back. You know who's really looking for somebody with standards? Somebody that understands the danger of not having any. Now, I understand greater evangelicalism. They're going to look down on us. Once again, hard to reach that crowd. They're already in their churches. There's a reason they're in the church they're in. That's what they like. But you go out and go soul winning. You go out and try to reach people. You go out and actually share the gospel with people. They will appreciate somebody with standards. They will say, that's the kind of life I want. That's what I want for my children. Because they've seen what the world looks like. They don't want anything more to do with it. It says here, unblameably. It's quite a description, isn't it? Now, if we're not careful, we can get our mind all twisted around and we can say that doesn't work anymore today. We know exactly where that argument's coming from. But once again, the argument of the Apostle Paul is much more solid. He said, first of all, he wanted to lead in hard work. He said, second of all, he wanted to lead in verse 10 in a holy life. Notice with me, thirdly, in verse 11, a helpful disposition. It's an interesting statement in verse 11. He said, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Go back to verse 7 in the same chapter, in the same context. He says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. There, of course, we have the picture of a mother and a newborn, and we have that gentle nature that we understand. But here it says a good father in verse 11 is what? He's someone who exhorts, who comforts, and charges. In other words, the idea here is the Apostle Paul said he viewed all of those people, the people in Thessalonica, that church, he viewed them as his own children. and he wanted to be the kind of spiritual father to them that he was a father to his own children. He wanted to be a father who came alongside. Thank God today for good dads, amen? My dad was a good dad. He's in heaven now. Everybody today doesn't have a good dad, you know? I've had people in my church say, when you preach on the Heavenly Father, I got to work it around in my mind just a little bit. We live in a day and age where even a word like father has different meanings to different people. I had young ladies in my church that say, could you act a little bit like my father? I had it four different times. I said, absolutely, I understand what they're going through. And so we live in a day and age where many people don't have a good father. But I did. I appreciate that. He never missed a service. He worked hard. He did all kinds of things for me. But here it is that the Apostle Paul wanted to be the right kind of spiritual father to those he came in contact with. Isn't this a great picture of what the ministry should really be? He said, as a father, he exhorts. The idea is he comes alongside of them. He's an encourager. Everybody needs an encourager sometimes, you know that? Doesn't matter where you are in the ministry, doesn't matter where you are in your life. Sometimes you need somebody to say, I'm for you. You're doing a good job. Keep it up. We need somebody to just come alongside. This world kind of beats us down. We need someone to be that exhorter, that encourager. Pray that God will let you to be that kind of encourager to others. Help them, encourage them along. Truth is, all of us need that. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the ministry, you need that. Heard an old-time veteran preacher one time, he was giving some advice at a thing I heard on preaching. He said this, he said, whenever you preach, there's going to be some people obviously don't want to be there. He said, try not to look at them. They're just going to discourage you. Try to find somebody that looks like they're actually listening. So what the guy is saying, even though he's preached all over the world, he still needed to be encouraged when he was preaching. It's pretty good, isn't it? We all need encouragement. It says there in verse 11, we need to exhort. We need to come alongside. It needs to comfort. It needs to comfort. Isn't that a beautiful picture of our Heavenly Father? Beautiful picture of what a good spiritual father should be. And then he finishes with charge them. Lead them. Implore them to go on. We finish this passage, the message and the messenger, with his conclusion there in verse 12. Do you see it? Why did he do this? Verse 9, the hard work. Verse 10, the holy life. Verse 11, the helpful disposition. Here it is in verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. The Apostle Paul had the right message, didn't he? He imparted the gospel of God. He was a bold soul winner. But he also was somebody who cared about people. He was concerned about people. He gave himself to people. The people with an effective ministry today, students, are people that have more than just the right message. They also have something right about them. They have a character inside of them. They have a heart for people. They are concerned about a lost and dying world. Sometimes because our society is so divided, and sometimes because our politics are so loud and noisy, and sometimes our religion, you understand the way in which I use that, is so loud and noisy, we think the loud ones are the right ones. But the Apostle Paul should be a good example, shouldn't he? And he says, here's what you do to give not only the gospel, but also your own souls. Can I suggest to you that every one of us here this morning was touched by somebody just like that? We're thinking of somebody right now. Maybe somebody that reached your mom or dad. Somebody that made a difference in your life. Somebody that cared about you. In the battles of the ministry, in the battles of life, all of us needed somebody like the Apostle Paul to come alongside and to exhort us and comfort us. So what the Apostle Paul is saying, we never really outgrow the need for it. We need not only the message, we need the messenger. We need somebody to touch our lives. And so we have the right message, the Word of God, but God is also trying to work on every single one of us this morning to be the right messenger. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy Word today. Thank you, Lord, for this great passage. Lord, I pray that you'd take this testimony, this example of the Apostle Paul, and Lord, I pray that you'd teach it to each one of us. Lord, in our lives, as these young people are being trained to go out into the harvest fields of the world, let us never forget that we give not only the gospel, but we also give our own souls. Lord, help us never to forget that. Lord, teach it to us again and use that great truth in our lives in Jesus' name.